So we're continuing our mini-series about the term Mikra Kodesh, a term that appears in the Chumash, both in the Shabbos, as well as multiple times, in the Yom Tov. It actually appears already in this week's Parsha, concerning the celebration of Pesach. As we left off last week, the question that the Rishonim raised is that what do the words mean, Mikra Kodesh? What exactly are you supposed to do to be Kari Mikra Kodesh? So it seems clear that there's something above and beyond refraining from Halacha. But the Torah just wanted us to refrain from Halacha. It tells us really, Lo Sasuka Malacha, Tishkal Shabboson. So Mikra Kodesh must be adding a dimension. So last week we spent a lot of time focusing on Shittas Rashi, that Mikra Kodesh refers to a Kore Kodesh in the sense of davening, a Shabbos davening, reciting Kiddush, words, verbally accepting of Shabbos Kiddush Sayom. That's what's included in this mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh. But now we move on to the second approach, which is the view of Rabbi Natan, the Shittas HaTosfos. The Mikra Kodesh is a totally different connotation. So the first of the Mamakomos tells us that a shvus that the Gimel Manal tells us, "V'nil Rabbeinu Tam, Koro Mikra Kodesh, Shemode Shebeizin Kitshuhu, V'shoveis V'malacha V'shvil Kedushas Hayom." So Tosfos happens to be referring to the Mikra Kodesh of Yom Kippur, but it really is a similar idea for Shabbos and the other Yom Tovim. Mikra Kodesh means that a person is refraining from Malacha for the right reasons. Mikra Kodesh, according to Tosfos, does not mean to do or not to do anything in addition. It just means that which anyway you're observing, anyway you're not doing Malacha on Yom Kippur, anyway you're not doing Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, do it because of the Kedushas Hayom. Namely, She'eino Shoveis Machas Kedushas Hayom, Ela Machas Shemes Atzeh Lasas Malacha. There are a lot of people who don't do Malacha on Yom Kippur, on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, because they have nothing to do. They're lazy. It's the day off. It's Saturday. So comes Rebbeinu Tam and says, that's what Mikra Kodesh is all about. Mikra Kodesh teaches us that not only are you supposed to be refraining from Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but you're supposed to be refraining with a very specific intent. That's what the mitzvah of Mikra Kodesh is all about. So this is a radically different shot than Shittas Rashi. According to Rashi, Mikra Kodesh is something in addition, besides resting from Malacha. You have to daven a Shabbos davening, you have to say Mikra Kodesh a Shabbos. According to Rebbeinu Tam, don't do anything different. Just do it with the right intent. The question is there any halachic ramifications of this view of Rabbeinu Tam? Are there any things that we have to now take into consideration practically besides just what a mindset is? So this idea of Rabbeinu Tam is expressed similarly by the Rambam in the second Gemara Mekomos. The Rambam first gives us a little bit of an introduction before it gets to the punchline relevant for us. But the Rambam is addressing in the second of the Gemara Mekomos in Perek Chavdal, Halach Yedezim of Shabbos, why Chazal prohibited Mukta on Shabbos. When you think about it, we have 39 halachas. We have each Av has multiple todos. There are a lot of things in that Torah that you can't do. Then you have a lot of gezeiros derabanan. Don't do X because you may come to do Y. But what do they have against Mukta? Why can't I pick up the rock? Why can't I pick up the wood? Why can't I move the money? Why the whole institution of Mukta, where did it come from? So comes the Rambam with the following suggestion. That Chazal prohibited certain kinds of carrying on Shabbos, things that you would normally carry during the week. Why did they institute this? Umru, they made the following calculation. That after all, in the Navi Yeshayo, so the Navi draws their attention to the fact that we're not even supposed to walk on Shabbos the way we walk during the week. In Tashiv Mishabbas Raglacha, person is not supposed to run on Shabbos, person is not supposed to walk very quickly on Shabbos. Everything, one's entire demeanor on Shabbos is supposed to be different than during the week. For those Sichas HaShabbos, Kesichas HaChol, the way one speaks on Shabbos is not the way you speak during the week. We learned already a little bit about the Shnema V'Davar Dovar. Certain things you're not allowed to talk about. You're not allowed to talk about Malacha. We learned the first of our mini-series is about Amir Yaakov. So we mentioned that some Rishonim say the reason why you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you on Shabbos is part of Davar Dovar, because I'm not allowed to talk about Malacha. So how can I instruct a non-Jew to do Malacha for me? That's the greatest violation of Davar Dovar. So even when it comes to how one speaks on Shabbos, one has to be different. So Shalom Yia Tiltul, the Shabbos Ketiltu B'chol. So Chazal extended this one step further. The Navi only tells us you have to walk differently and you have to talk differently. And Chazal said, and you should be moving around things differently also. Why is this? Kedei Shelo Yeh Ki Yom Chol Be'enav. The reason why the halacha is that you have to make Shabbos very clear as different, because otherwise it's ultimately going to become a Yom Chol in one's eyes. It's going to be like a regular work day. V'yavo L'agbiyo L'sachan Keil V'pidolatina V'bayis L'bayis L'siyan Nabach Yotzeh Behen. that a person, otherwise we don't have the issue of mukta, a person is going to start to move things around, even though he won't necessarily be doing malacha. So he'll bottle the yashu the beso, yivakesh davishis asek, no, v'nimsa shlo shavas, he'll bottle a tam sheba teira leman yanuach. So in theory, if you don't have the prohibition of mukta, we're at a recipe for disaster. So I'm not going to cook on Shabbos, I'm not going to turn lights on Shabbos, what am I going to do? I'm going to start to move things around, I'm going to start to move my mukta around, I'll start sorting things around. The whole picture of Shabbos, the whole image of Shabbos, the man Yanuch, the day of rest, is going to disappear. And then the Raman Halacha Yigimel continues, V'od, Kishe Yivakev Yitalto Kelim Shevalachtam Yisr, says the Rambam, although I explained part of the reason for mukta, but there's another dimension of mukta, says the Rambam. If you start to move everything, then you inevitably are going to move kelim, which are usually associated with malacha. If I tell you you can move your pencils around, and you can move your computers around, you can use your cell phones, everything's going to be moved. Imagine a Shabbos for a moment without mukta. Imagine if a person doesn't violate malacha, but he violates all of his mukta. He will inevitably come to be violating malachas. And then the Ram continues. So far we have the reason of to make that demarcation, Shabbos is different from the Yom Chol. Also, it's a gezeira mishum certain types of malachas. Then the Ram says, "Oh, they should miktas ha'am einam bali umnias el b'teilin kol yemayim." There are some people who anyway don't work. They don't work all the rest of the week. You don't have tayolin v'yoshe kronos. The Ram doesn't have very fond things to say about people who are just sitting around, literally sitting on the corners. V'yoshe kronos shekol yemayim shelsim in malacha. The whole week is off. For those individuals who don't work all week, if you're going to let them also move mukta on Shabbos, then what is Shabbos to them? What's the difference? They don't work Sunday to Friday. They don't work on Saturday either. So there's no heker. That's the key word that the Rambam uses. There's no heker. There's nothing recognizable about Shabbos. Lefikach, shvisa midvarm elu hi shvisa shavu b'chol adam. Therefore, Chazal added on the dimension of mukta. Everybody moves things. Even the guy sits around, does no work. He still moves things during the week. So the person who normally moves things during the week, and on Shabbos his hands are tied, turns out that he has a shvisa nikeres. Therefore, Chazal said that we want to have everybody refrain from unnecessary tiltal on Shabbos. Whatever you need a sefer, you need food to eat, you need a silverware, you need a kiddush cup, okay, those are things that are necessary. But whatever is not necessary basically boils down to being mukta. So the Rambam tells us that one of the concerns that Chazal had was this idea of, Rambam coined the phrase, shvisa nikeres. The Shabbos has to be a shvisa nikeres. So basically what the Rambam is explaining as part of the background to the prohibition of mukta, this consideration of shvisa nikeres, is pretty much what Tosfos told us in terms of being shoveis in malacha l'shei mitzvah as well. The fact that a person is not doing malacha on Shabbos, that in and of itself is not enough. That's not sufficient shmir Shabbos. A person could sleep in bed, he also sleep probably after he wakes up with a Shabbos, he went 25 hours, didn't do one malacha. Was he mechal Shabbos? No. Did he have a shvisa nikeres? Also no. So mukta is there to enable the mitzvah of Shabbos to become a mikra kodesh, to become in a sense a shvisa nikeres.
That doesn't explain why the only malachas
machshavas. So, malachas machshavas is a Torah definition, namely that even within the lametes malachas, only malachas that are done with positive purposes or other considerations that are necessary to meet the criteria of malachas machshavas. So the definition of malachas is very, very limited. It has to be one of the lametes malachas, and even with the malachas, it has to meet the criteria of malachas machshavas. But you can theoretically have a person who's observing all of the malachas, not doing anything, and still lacking in the mikra kodesh, just lacking shvisa nikeres. So the question is, how much further does this go for us practically? Is it enough, just the way Rabbi Natan describes it, a person sits back on Shabbos and thinks, shvisa nikeres, shvisa nikeres, Quentin Rambam, he doesn't move mukta, shvisa nikeres, or is there more within that? Does the halacha impose upon us another way of ascertaining, to making sure that our shvisa will actually be a mikra kodesh or shvisa nikeres? So there is a gemara in the third of the Mamakamos that at first glance doesn't seem to impact upon our sugya. It's talking about a very, very different part of Shabbos. But if we go a little bit more into the sugya, we'll see that this gemara may be the key to understanding practically what shvisa nikeres, how it actually plays out. So the Gemara that served the Ramakamos in Brachas of Chapel of Days, Amr of Adab Rava, Nashim Chayavas Bekiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. Women are obligated to recite Kiddush or to hear Kiddush from Ethone. Women are obligated in the midst of the Rais of Kiddush without any question whatsoever. The Chayavas Bin HaTorah. Amai asks the Gemara why. Mitzvah says, Ish Islam Gramari? Kiddush is a positive mitzvah that can only be performed once a week. You can't make Kiddush on Tuesday. So it's a mitzvah that can only be performed once a week. The whole mitzvah says, Ish Islam Gramari, Nashim Turos. Women have turos, that's through some shofar, that's through some sukkah, from lulav, all the mitzvahs that Yishas Man Grav, women are exempt from. It's the whole sugya in Maseches Kedushin, we have Tarshim Apeh, explains based on sukkah and drashas, the women have turos for mitzvahs that Yishas Man Grav. So why should women be chayavas in Kiddush? So Amr Abaye mid the Rabbanim. So Abaye says, you're right, the question is a good question, that maybe the obligation of women in Kiddush is only mid the Rabbanim. So Amr Rava, Rava said, how can you say that? It's not true. Tadvar Torah to Amr. Ravadvar Abba prefaced the statement by saying, Chayavas Dvar Torah. He said the Chayav Dvar Torah, it's hard to explain away Dvar Torah, meaning mid the Rabbanim. So obviously Abai's answer is not correct. And the Ode, Rava asked another question in Abai's trap. According to your saying, the Kiddush is fundamentally the same as other mitzvahs as Mangrava, but mid the Rabbanim, the Chayavos, we have yet to find that women are chayavas in sukkah midrabanan, they're not chayavas in lulav midrabanan, not chayavas in kriyash midrabanan. We don't find the Chazal instituted a mitzvah midrabanan for women in mitzvah seshes ban grava. So Abaye's or Kimta, Abaye's pshat in the Ravada's statement is a very, very difficult pshat. So what is the correct pshat? Say, Elo Marava. So Rava says, no, what he really meant is as follows, that women are obligated min haTorah in Kiddush. Where does it come from? Aif is my grava. Elo Marava, Amakras, Exeris HaKras. It's a special pasuk. What's the pasuk? Zoch v'shamar kol sheyeshta b'shmira yeshta b'zchira v'aminashi hov isnei b'shmira isnei b'zchira. Comes the Gemara and says that shomer v'zochar are put together. Whoever is obligated in shmira Shabbos is chayavas in zchira Shabbos. What is shmira Shabbos? Shomer sim Shabbos akacho. Shomer means to stop, to refrain, to watch, to guard. The Ramban explains, when you guard something, that means you don't touch it. I stay away from it. A losa, say, is a shmira. Zechira is positive, is reciting Kiddush. We spoke about last week, either alakos, alakos, the rice, the rabbon, whatever it is. But that's something positive. I actively remember Shabbos by reciting Kiddush. So comes the Gemara and says, these two terms that are used in the two different sources in the Aseret HaDibros, in Parshas Yisro and Parshas Veschanan, there's a reason why the Torah switches. In one place it says Zohar, in one place it says Shomor, to teach us that both of these statements were said at the same time. And since they were both said by Kadosh Baruch at the same time, we have a right in the world of Halacha to derive Halachas one from another. Shomor v'Zohar v'Nibarech is not just a historical statement, but it's a Halachic statement as well. We can derive Halachas one from another. And the Halacha that we derive is, whoever is obligated in Shmira is obligated in Zechira. These two mitzvahs go hand in hand. So therefore, women are chayavas, but in Nasha Hovis Nev B'Shmira, women are obviously obligated in Shmira Shabbos Min HaTorah, even though it's a Zman Grama, but it's a Lo Sasei. The rule of Mitzvah Sesei, Shah Zman Grama, is only for Mitzvah Sesei, only for positive mitzvahs. Since women are obligated in the Torah not to do malacha, it's now be zechira. They're obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush as well. So this exists across, there's no question about it. Women are obligated mid daraisa in the midst of Kiddush on Shabbos. The question is, how do we understand the nature of this halacha? What is this din all about, that women are chayavos in Kiddush? One can learn that it's just like gzeres hakos b'yamos. That's the way it is. That's the drasha. Kachlem alach v'shtim. I finished. End of discussion. Women are chayavos in Kiddush. Or maybe there's something deeper behind it. Maybe there's a reason the Torah is teaching us an important halachic message about Shabbos by putting together Zocha v'shomer. We sing in Lechadot, the Shomer v'Zocha v'Yirech and Emru. Is it just a beautiful song, just a beautiful idea, or is there some real halachic teeth to it that Shomer and Zocha go hand in hand? So the Rav suggested that he thinks that perhaps the pshat in Shomer v'Zochar, the Dibarech HaNemru, which is ultimately the source, the women of Chayavas and Kiddush, what the Gemara is really telling us is that there is a relationship between the mitzvah of Kiddush and the Isurim and the mitzvah also say of not doing Malacha. What's the relationship? I would have said, the two mitzvahs that just happen to coincide on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to refrain from Malacha, and there's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush. So the answer is no, it's much more than that. Very often when we find that the Torah lumps together two mitzvahs and says, if you have in one, you have in the other, there's a relationship between those mitzvahs. Eitel Marshall, also this week's Pasha, women are obligated to eat matzah on Pesach. Why? It's a mitzvah seish as man grava. So the Gemara says, well, we have a hekesh, we have a comparison. Whoever cannot eat chametz has to eat matzah. Obviously, there's a connection between the two mitzvahs. The fact that you're not allowed to eat chametz all week of Pesach, and the fact that you have to eat masa for Seder, there's obviously some connection, some correlation between the two. Obviously, chametz and masa are opposites to one another. The Torah wants us to refrain from chametz. The Torah wants us to eat masa. So it's not just by coincidentally that women are obligated in both. Chametz and masa are a package deal. So to the Rav said, melacha and kiddush are a package deal as well. What's the package deal between the two? Why is Malacha and Kiddush linked to one another? What is that theme that connects the two? So the Rav explained that maybe the idea is Shvi Sanikaris. When a person begins Shabbos and they refrain from Malacha, the Torah wants it quite clear. He wants the person to make an oral declaration, a verbal declaration, Hinni Mukher Mzuman, that I'm keeping Shabbos L'Hashem. Do not think that I'm keeping Shabbos because I have nothing to do, because I'm lazy, I don't have a job. No. I'm keeping Shabbos because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said so. That is the mitzvah deraisa of Mikra Kodesh that in effect of Benatam started off the sugya with. That's what the Rambam is driving at, why Muktzah is prohibited, and that's ultimately what Kiddush is all about as well. The mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush, the purpose, the goal of the mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush is that. It's not just on the mitzvah kiddush b'yama. Just stop, by the way, on Shabbos, just say that Shabbos is finished. No. The mitzvah is to be the kaddishus of Shabbos, namely to declare, this is why I'm being shoveis. I'm being shoveis, zechel ma'aseh b'reishis, the kaddish of Shabbos, etc. That's the whole thrust of the mitzvah. That's the case. So the Rav explained, it makes a lot of sense. Once a person is chayavis in malacha, they must be chayavis in kiddush. It's inconceivable that the Torah should give an issa malacha to women and not lump together with the issa malacha mitzvah kiddush. Because to have malacha without kiddush is tantamount the same, have a shvisa sheni keres, which is something for us the Torah wouldn't want us to have. So this idea of shama v'zocha v'dibarech enem, women's chiyav in kiddush, teaches us not just a technical detail about a woman's obligation in kiddush, but it really sheds light on the whole relationship of what we're trying to accomplish between the mitzvah kiddush and the issa malacha. If this is the case, then the Rav went further to explain, maybe this can explain a very, very difficult halacha, halacha that we rely upon all the time. We do this a few months a year, then the fourth of the Maamar Kamos. The Gemara Brachas that Chazayin with Beis raises the question, can a person recite Kiddush before Shabbos technically starts? Now we know that Shabbos technically starts when the new day starts. The new day starts, at least be Suffolk at the time of Shkia. So until the sun sets, it's really Friday. Can a person begin Shabbos early and recite Kiddush? So the Gemara says yes. Teirish Shigemar and Brachas of Chazayin of Beis in the fourth of the Ramakamas, Tashma, the Yom Rav Nachman and Mashmur, Mispal Adam Shal Shabbos, they have Shabbos. A person could have a Meir of early, the Friday night's Meir, they could have it at Midiyad Yom on Friday afternoon. The Oyne Kiddush Alakos, and you can even recite Kiddush Alakos, it could be Yetzi, a mix of Kiddush, Midiyad Yom, before Shabbos technically starts. Vilchus of Tavasei, the Gemara says that in case anyone questions the statement, the halach is true. That's the halach, like Rav Nachman and Mashmur. We do it all the time, 3-4 months a year. From May to September, people make early Shabbos, they make Kiddush early, and show the Yotzi Mitzvah Kiddush, and nobody bats an eyelash. The question is, how does that work? How in the world can you make Kiddush early? The Torah says, Zoch Hashem Shabbos Bekacho, it's not Shabbos yet. Shabbos hasn't really honest to Haraya, the guys in the second minion are driving to Shul. Well, what do you mean you're making Kiddush? Who are you making Kiddush? It's Friday afternoon, how can you make Kiddush? How do we understand that phenomena of making Kiddush early? So the Pashas Advarim is that halacha of making Kiddush early is part of the general mitzvah called Tosef Shabbos. The Gemara derives from Psukim, later on in Pashas Emor, that there's either an obligation or at least a possibility of being Mekabel Shabbos early. There's a notion called Tosef Shabbos. According to many opinions, it's actually a chiyuv for Mekabel Shabbos early. The Gemara derives it from Psukim by Yom Kippur. The Torah describes Yom Kippur as being the Tisha L'Chodesh Be'erev. On the ninth day of Tishrei, Be'erev, late in the afternoon, in the evening, that's when Yom Kippur starts. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes asks, what do you mean Yom Kippur starts on the ninth day of Tishrei? The Torah, two psukim earlier, just said, Be'esol L'Chodesh Hashvi. It says the Ferish, Yom Kippur is on the tenth day. It says it in three different places in Chumash. Yom Kippur is on the tenth day. What do you mean it's on the ninth day of Be'erev? What kind of strange way is that? The Tisha L'Chodesh Be'erev. So the Gemara says, this possibly, Tisha L'Chodesh Be'erev is teaching us, you're supposed to start Yom Kippur while it's still the ninth day. You're not supposed to wait till it gets dark to start Yom Kippur. You have to stop doing melacha. You have to stop eating already. You have to begin the day Nibiyod Yom. That's what we do. So we already start. We already start Kol Midrash. We're already starting before Shkia. Hopefully, not sure. At least at least one of the three chalidras is in there before. At least the Rav Tzadik, something's in there before Shkia. It means we stop eating already, we stop our meal, we stop Malacha, we're in Ben Shlach, everyone finished driving already. Before Yom Kippur definitely starts to fulfill this mitzvah, B'tishah L'chadish Be'erev. So there's a machlokes in the Rishon, whether that din carries over to other Shabbosos and to other Yom Tovim as well. So according to those opinions that there's a mitzvah to set the Shabbos min HaTorah, once you begin Shabbos, I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early, so it's technically considered to be like Shabbos. So even though for the next stone it's not Shabbos, he decided not to fulfill an hour of the Sefer Shabbos, he's going to fulfill 10 minutes of the Sefer Shabbos, but I'm going to fulfill an hour of the Sefer Shabbos. So when I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, for me, basically Shabbos has started, and therefore I can fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. That's the Pashas Hadvarim. The only problem is that there are many Rishonim who maintain that the din of the Sefer Shabbos only applies to Malacha. It doesn't apply to the mitzvah Sayyom. Let's say, for example, to the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. There's one opinion in Tosfos that says that when you make an early Shabbos, you can't really be eating a Suda Bibiyot Yom. You would have to eat a little bit of the Suda, you'd have to have a piece of challah after dark. So Mikra Dim, we don't really follow that, so Lechatchila, but there are some opinions in Rishonim that say that Tosfos Shabbos is only true for Isurim, it's not really true for mitzvah. So let's say, Lamashal, on Yom Tov. The person is Makabal Yom Tov early, so Tosfos quotes one opinion that the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov wouldn't start yet. It's not Yom Tov yet. There's a bit of Malacha, there's an Isur of Malacha, there's Man Tosefes, you're supposed to refrain from Malacha before the Shabbos and Yom Tov starts, but vis-a-vis Mitzvah Hayom, they don't really kick in until it actually gets dark. If that's the case, then we have a big problem with this Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us that you can make Kiddush Mivyod Yom. That nobody questions. Olam Nachal Meshmuel, Hilchos HaKavasei, Smut L'Chatchil, you can make Kiddush Mivyod Yom. So I understand. Even if you want to say it's based on Tosefes, the Tosefes is only for Yisurim, it's not for Mitzvahs. So how in the world can you make Kiddush Mivyod Yom? So the Rav explained, no, it's not a kasha, because Kiddush is the exception to the rule of mitzvahs, because Kiddush is not an independent mitzvah. Kiddush is not like Suda Shabbos. Kiddush is not like Simchas Yom Tov. Kiddush is not like Achilas Matzah. Kiddush is part of Malacha. It's a package deal with Malacha. Whenever the Yisur Malacha kicks in, that's when the mitzvah Kiddush kicks in as well. So just as women are obligated in Malacha, they're obligated in Kiddush. Just as Bizman Tosefa Shabbos, once I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, I'm no longer allowed to do Malacha. As long as I'm not allowed to do Malacha, I'm allowed to be Yotze Kiddush. It's inconceivable to have a moment on the clock where there's an Yisur Malacha without the corollary mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush. So even though it's technically not Shabbos yet, Haraya, the guy next door, he's still in the shower. Someone in my house is still in the shower. Whatever it is. Tachas, if bottom line, I was no Kabbal Shabbos. Bottom line is, for me, I'm not allowed to do Malacha at that point. Once I'm not allowed to do Malacha, so I'm permitted to be out to the Mitzvah Kiddush. So that whole idea is an expression of the same Yisrael that the Rav said, based on the Rambam, based on the Tosfos, based on the different Makaros, of what's called Kiddush creating the Shvi Sadikeres. If that's the case, we're putting together with and we're embellishing upon the Tam's Pshat that Mikra Kodesh means a Shvi Sadikeres, and the mechanism of Shvi Sadikeres is for Kiddush, then last week's Shir and this week's Shir are not all that far apart from one another. Last week we spoke a lot about Chittas Rashi. Rashi said that what is Mikra Kodesh? Mikra Kodesh means making Kiddush. He says Mikra Kodesh, to be Kohen Kiddush Hayom, to say Mikdash Shabbos, to daven Shmoneh Esrei for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, Yom Kippur. That's the mitzvah Mikra Kodesh. So last week we focused a lot about what's going on in the Siddur and the Bencher, what text of words you're using, their ices, their abundance, on the coast, etc., to fulfill the Kodesh. And now we're talking about refraining from Malacha because of Shvi Sadikeres. But now, according to the Rav's idea, it's really one and the same. The Pshat of Rashi, the Pshat of Ben Tam are not so far apart from one another. They're all part of the same package. Rashi is focusing on Tachlis, what are the words that you're saying, to create that aura of Shvi Sadikeres from Ben Tam. So the Rashi, the grandfather and the grandson, are not so radically far apart from one another. We just make sure it means the Rashi and Ben Tam are really pointing in the same direction. Make Kiddush, daven Nusach for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and through doing those words, that's going to create the idea of Shvi Sadikeres. This idea that the Rav developed for us based on these Rishonim, Mr. Rambam, Mr. Rabbi Natan, that Kiddush is the mechanism to declare that what you're doing is a Shabbos Tikva activity, that it's some Shvisa and Ikeres, the Shem Kiddush Hayom. This may also explain another dimension of the Mitzvah of Kiddush, another phenomenon that we find about the Mitzvah of Kiddush. In the 5th of Mamakomos, very famous Gemara in Pesachim Bechkuf, who asked the following question, Also, many other shekitchu beveis hakinesis. If a person recited kiddush in shul, did he fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush when he gets home? Does he have to make kiddush over again? So, Amar Rav Yedayin lo yatsu yedei kiddush yatsu. So, Rav says that he technically fulfilled the mitzvah of kiddush. The guy made kiddush in shul. He was yaitz in the mitzvah of kiddush. He said mekadosh shabbos and finished. If he wants to drink more wine during the course of his meal at home, he doesn't have to make kiddush again, but he has to make a new bar priyagofen. Because since he traveled, he walked, and it's called the shirim makom. The shul was three blocks away. Now he came home, so the yedayin lo yatsu. He has to. He was not yaitz in the bracha bar priyagofen for all subsequent wine he wants to drink, but the kiddush he was yaitz. Ushmul v'mati de kiddush lo yatsu. And Shmuel says, no, not only do you have to make a new bar priyagofen, but you have to make kiddush over again also, because you weren't yaitz with the kiddush that you made in shul. What's the machlokes? Why should Rav say yaitz kiddush in shul, and Shmuel says you're not? So the Gemara explains that Rav held, he said the words of kiddush. You had kiddush, you drank the wine. What's the problem? And Shmuel says, no, that's not enough. In order to be yaitz kiddush, you have to have what's called kiddush b'makom suda. There has to be a tzir, there has to be a connection between the kiddush and the having of the suda. If you make kiddush in one place, you have a suda somewhere else, then you were not yet to kiddush, and you have to start all over. You have to make a new bar, pick up a new mekadosh hashamis. So we, of course, pass it in the halacha like Shmuel. The Gemara says this is one of the exceptions to the rule. Usually, in the realm of issa v'hetter, in the realm of, you know, ritual kind of areas of halacha, we generally follow Rav. Indeed, in mamonos and monetary laws, we generally follow Shmuel. That's the rule. But there are a few exceptions to the rule. This is one of them. The Gemara says that here we follow Shmuel. Here, all the later on Maran started with Shmuel, and that's the accepted halacha in kiddush al makom suda.
If we explain the way the Rav explained that kiddush is the relationship to Yisun Racha, doesn't really work well with Shmuel.
Oh, that's exactly what we're going to try to figure out. We're going to try to use the Rav to explain Shmuel rather than refute Shmuel. That's exactly what we're going to try to do. So again, so Shmuel has this kiddush for us, they kiddush lo yatsu, and that's how we accept la halacha. So the question is, where did this come from? This idea that you have to have kiddush makom suda, what's the source of this idea? So the Gemara never explains. Shmuel's view. So avi de kiddush lo yatsu. So the Rashbam on the spot in Maseches Pesachim explains. The Rashbam was Rabbi Natan's older brother, was Rashi's other grandson. So the Rashbam and avi Pesachim, we have usually use the Rashbam instead of Rashi's chat. Rashbam wrote a much longer parish on avi Pesachim. So the Rashbam and the words after the Yayin Loyatu Kidafashid and Time El Kameh, as the Gemara will explain in Kiddush Makam El Makam Suda. The Gemara says those words, Kiddush Makam Suda, but never explains how Chazal knew it. So the Rashbam adds on, Dichtiv, he thinks it's based on the following. The Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, the Paskin Yishayel says the Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, you have to declare Shabbos to be a day of light, of joy. The Makam Shetakur of the Shabbos, that the Navi is combining the two aspects into one pasuk, the karasa of the Shabbos oneg, kloma kriya de kiddush shamte oneg. The karasa is a lashon of kriya, of calling out, that's kiddush, and oneg is the suda. So Megishu, it's a drash, it's a drasha, that Mestabah Chazal has this tradition, that's what the Navi had in mind, the karasa of the Shabbos oneg, you have to have kiddush makom suda. Inami, the Rashbam says another idea. Svari, maybe the idea of kiddush makom suda is just a svara pshuta, just a simple logic. Why? I mean, the ik for kiddush alayayin, since you have to make kiddush on yayin, we know that for a fact, either deraisa or derabbanan, we spoke about last week, kiddushanu lekamon, zechre alayayin, mistoba alayayin shebishasudu huk for the choshev. When the halacha requires kiddush alayayin, either deraisa or derabbanan, why do you think the halacha requires yayin? What's the point of yayin? What do you need yayin for? Why can't I just make kiddush with words alone? So the answer is that we want it to have significance. We want it to be choshev. A guy's walking in the street and he says, Mekadosh Shabbos, doesn't mean anything. You come home and you say it in a choshev manner, that's called a mitzvah chashuva. So how do you make something choshev? Make a toast, pick up a cup of wine, that grants chashivas to it. If I just say it mumble jumbo without saying it in the context of a cup of wine, that's a lack of chashivas. So the Rashbam says, there's chashivas. If I just take a cup of wine, I drink the wine, and then walk out, that's also not so choshev. But if I sit down and I make, let's have a toast, and let's have a suda, let's celebrate the kiddushas hayom, that's already a yayin choshev. So it makes sense that the halacha would require that kiddush has to be not just al yayin. The reason why we need yayin in the first place is to grant chashivas to the kiddush, and kiddush makom suda adds that added dimension, that element of chashivas as well. So these are the two reasons that the Rashbam presents for where kiddush makom suda comes from. Again, we pass it on Shmuel for sure. Is it based on the karas l'shabbos oneg? Is it based on yayin choshev? Up for grabs. So let's analyze for a moment the first reason. What do the words mean that it has to be the karas l'shabbos oneg? How do we understand that halacha? Navi is telling us that the makom kiddush shamte oneg. Why is that? Why do you have to have a tzir? Why do you have to have a connection between kiddush and suda? Why? Based on what? The second reason I understand, but what's the longest of the first? This is a drasha b'alma. So maybe based on what the Rav said, we can extrapolate, we can extend the Rav's idea to Suda Shabbos as well. If you think about it, Suda Shabbos is a very strange mitzvah. The Torah says, either deraisa or derabanan, the halacha requires of us to sit down and have three meals on Shabbos. And anyway, I eat the rest of the week also. Some people wash the rest of the week. I sit down and have a piece of gefilte fish sometimes the rest of the week. I have a bowl of soup the rest of the week. A piece of chicken the rest of the week. Sometimes I'll be eating last week's Shabbos meal for the rest of the week. Whatever it is. It's not such a foreign concept for a person to have a meal. So I sit down Friday night. If you think about it, what makes this a Shabbos meal? What makes it nikeres? What is it that creates the Baal phrase from the Rambam of Malacha and nikeres? What makes it a Suda nikeres? What makes it recognizable as a Shabbos meal? So the answer is very simple. That mitzvah of Kiddush does the trick. The same way that the Rambam says, or the Rav said, the Daf Rambam, that by making Kiddush, that declares the Shvisa to be a Shvisa Nikeres. That's exactly what Kiddush does vis-a-vis the Suda as well. To have a Suda Shabbos without having Kiddush precede it is Mishkin Suda Shabbos. That's the Chisorin in the Din of Suda Shabbos. You have to have a Kiddush that precedes the Suda, otherwise the Suda is not going to be Nikeres as a Suda Shabbos. If this is the case, then this would be an interesting idea, but the Rambam may very well hold. The Rambam has a unique shita about Kiddush, at least according to some, that the Rambam holds you need Kiddush for all three Suddhas. The Rambam's custom was, you have to make Kiddush for Shalosh Suddhas as well, which fits in very nicely to what we're saying. That it's inconceivable to sit down to a meal. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're sitting down having a challah roll and some tuna fish. And what makes that a Suddha Shabbos? The answer is, you precede it with Kiddush. So it happens to be we don't fault. The admitting is that we don't. Somehow we don't have a Kiddush by Shalosh Suddhas for whatever technical reason, but most of us don't follow that practice. But according to the Rambam, it really makes a lot of sense to require that.
Why would you say the yayin at the end of the Suda would give Chashivas to the Suda when you bench? Well,
the benching on a coast is really, according to many, something supposed to happen all the time. The fact that many people have a custom of benching on a coast on Shabbos is not really correct in halacha. The halacha is that there's machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes of Rishon and Paskin, there's birchas of Muslim to in a coast or not. So one opinion says every benching requires a coast, even without a mezuzah. There are many opinions that maintain every time you bench, you have to have a coast shel yayin. And others say, no, you never have to have a coast shel yayin. It's only if midas chasidus, it's not really necessary. So there are some who follow the practice on Shabbos, but not during the week. Probably part of the reason is because the wine sitting on the table on Shabbos, so it's a little bit easier to do, it's more b'chavidik to do. But the distinction in Shabbos and the rest of the week is not an absolute halacha. Those who say that you need a bench on the coast would probably hold that way during the week as well. There's one opinion, Tosfos quotes, that you have to bench on the coast even be a chidus. And then there's one day or one Tana that says that you have to bench, the full benching, even on not bread. Let's say if you have sit down and have a bowl of dates. So of course, Rabbi Gamliel, every time you have Shivas Aminim, you have to bench, the full bench. You say, we follow the other view, and you just make Me'ein Shalosh, you make an Alamichi, Alayetz, Alayetzin, etc. Rabbi Gamliel says that every time you have anything from Shivas Aminim, you have a piece of cake, you have some olives, you have a cup of wine, anything you have from Shivas Aminim, you have to have a full benching. So Tosfos has a funny kasha. Tosfos asks, if you hold that Birchas HaMazon to Unakos, even the Yechidus, and if you hold that you have to bench, even on a cup of wine, so then the first time you ever sat down to eat any meal when you were bar mitzvah, you will spend the rest of your life benching. Because you sat down and you ate your bar mitzvah meal. So now you have to bench, on the coast. So when you finish benching on the coast, you have to make a new bracha chrona. But according to Rabbi Gamliel, that new bracha chrona has to be a bracha mazon. But bracha mazon to the coast, so you need another cup of wine. So Tosfos says there's got to be something wrong with that cheshbon. Not sure what, but something's got to give in that cheshbon. No, Rav Gamliel did not say spend the rest of your life benching on a coast. So whatever it is, but according to this understanding, that maybe the role of Kiddush Makom Suda is similar to what Rav is explaining, that Kiddush is supposed to be related to Melacha. So we have a whole new dimension of Kiddush over here that we're developing, that the role of Kiddush is basically to take the pre-existing mitzvahs of Shabbos, the Shisim and Melacha, the Siddur Shabbos mitzvahs, and things you're doing and not doing anyway. You'll be doing them regardless of the Kiddush. And Kiddush is adding a flavor to it. Kiddush is adding that dimension that's making it nikeres. So we have really a second approach in the Rishonim to what Mikra Kiddush is. So the same phrase, Mikra Kiddush, that appears so many places in Chumash about Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, etc. So what do the words mean? So Rashi was focusing last week on the emphasis of reciting the Kiddush and davening Neschus Shabbos and Yom Tov, etc. And Rabbi Natan is focusing on the mindset of Shvisa and Nikeres. The two, according to the Rosevoort, the two may be related to one another. another. Hopefully we'll have to show them in the next week, so we'll see that there may be a whole other dimensions of Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh may be telling us to do other things on Shabbos that we wouldn't necessarily have figured out on our own. So hopefully we'll show next week, we'll try to put together the last sheet in the Rishon, the last sheet in the Rishon about Mikra Kodesh is all about. So we'll have to show them next week, we're on for the Shia. The following week I'll be away, and hopefully next week after that we'll continue.